here's something we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Creating Daily. I'm your host, Billy Thorpe. And yeah, I do cook bacon with my shirt off. I got to come up with something else. You know, I thought about saying, like, I'm your non-award-winning podcast live stream host or whatever, just to pick on the gurus. You know who you are. I'm looking at you. Anyway, so I'll stop being. See, I'm trying to be creative. I got a creative block. I'm trying to overcome it. I got my friend Aaron coming on here in a few minutes to help me overcome creative mental blocks so I can come up with a good intro for this show. But we got a really great show for you. So if you're a creator and maybe you started a project, and I don't know if you've done this before. Maybe I'm in a boat of my own, but I've literally started a project, got 10, 15, 20 episodes, pages, whatever into it. And then all of a sudden, like, how do I get past this, man? I can't get past it. Maybe I don't finish a project. Maybe I quit early, and I don't really reach the full potential of that project. So we're going to be talking with Aaron here in a few minutes to talk about how do you get over that, how to get over some of those things that's going to keep you locked up mentally. But before we do, I got a couple of little segments for you, as always. So here we go.
What? It's tool time with Creating Daily.
All right, this is my new segment called Tool Time, and this is where I share my favorite tools with you. Now, this is a new one. It's called Zoom ISO. It's made by a company called Liminal, and I was actually kind of forced to get this because the live streaming software I use was having a little bit of trouble with their interview mode, and I was in a pinch because I'm doing these live shows every day, and I'm looking for ways to bring in consistent video from guests. It's not all choppy and whacked out. Sounds good, looks good. So I came across Zoom ISO, and what it does, it generates individual video outputs from each participant in Zoom, and then you can put it into like different software like Ecamm or, you know, I don't know about Restream, maybe like whatever like software on your computer, I guess I should say. But anyway, like a switcher, any kind of like encoder, media servers, all that kind of fun stuff. It is iOS only or Mac OS. I got iOS and OS mixed up, but that is what it is. And you can even do like HD video and all that stuff. This really saved my tail. So we'll see how it works. I used it yesterday. I'm going to use it today. And we'll see, you know, how the video is. But if you're having struggles bringing in those guests in certain applications, this did it for me. All right, let's jump over to our
creator highlights.
No cooking necessary, no assembly required.
It's got to be funky.
All right, if you're a creator and you're looking to be on other people's shows to expand your brand, to expand your reach, check out OneSheet Pro. You go to onesheet.pro/Billy Thorpe. You can check out my OneSheet and you can sign up off of that. And if you pay for a pro subscription, I get a kickback off of it because it has an auto affiliate program built right into it. They also have a directory of like all the people who have a OneSheet Pro that you can rank in. The more you share, the more you grow over there on OneSheet. So if you haven't checked it out, be sure to do that and get your own OneSheet, and it's a digital OneSheet, so it makes it really easy and awesome. Now, today's creator highlight goes, I guess, to Dateline NBC. Like, I'm not a big news fan or whatever, but this is a really good series of shows called The Thing About Pam. Pretty cool project, so I'll just read the description here. It says, 2 days after Christmas in 2011, Russ Faria, that's how you pronounce it, came home from game night to find his wife Betsy dead. He was soon charged and convicted of her murder, just because he's the husband, that's what they do. But Russ insisted that he did not kill his wife, and anyway, set off all this chain of stuff. And this lady, Pam, is a whack job, so go check that out. If you're looking for something creative to listen to, if you like true crime stuff, that is definitely a true crime, and that is a crazy story, and I wanted to highlight it. So thanks a lot, Dateline NBC. I'll just promote you more than... Actually, you know what? Why don't you promote me? I know you're listening to this, Keith Morrison. Why don't you promote me a little bit, huh? Scratch Billy's back. But anyway, go check that out. Super fun. And they didn't have any creative blocks. I loved it. I watched the Netflix special or the Hulu special or whatever it was on. And then I also listened to that because I liked that story so much. And it was pretty interesting to see the two different audio and then audio and video. So anyway, pretty creative story. And if you are a true crime podcaster, maybe you could pick up some tips and tricks because I really enjoyed the audio experience. but not as much. I'm going to enjoy this experience. My friend Aaron from the Wet Down Podcast, he and his buddies co-host this show. But today we're going to be talking a little bit about that, but more about how do you overcome those creative mental blocks. So without further ado, I'm going to shut up as always and bring on my friend Aaron and remind him to unmute if he hasn't already, because I didn't mute you. He's a pro. What's up, man?
Not too much, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time. I know you're very busy. You're a dad, you're a husband, you're a podcast host, a creator. You're doing all the things. And so, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and dropping some gems of how we get out of our own headspace.
I don't want to drop too many gems, man. I need all the money I can get right now. I got to keep these rubies to myself sometimes. Give them all away.
I'm keeping my gems. Sorry, man. So let's dive in. First of all, let's talk about, you know, kind of your creator experience. This is something I probably should do on the show more often, but I usually just dive right in. But you and I are still getting to know each other a little bit. So, man, give me a little backstory on your creator journey here.
So I'd say I'm about 19 to 20 months in. We decided that during the pandemic, we got bored. A group of my buddies and I, everybody was streaming technology. You couldn't really see anybody. And of course, the pandemic changed everyone's life. So we had to figure out ways to be human again. And that was the way we did it, was through a podcast. We created something. We took what our ideas and just fun, our shenanigans, you know, boys jokes, locker room jokes, we're hockey players, we're veterans, we're Marines. Like, there's all sorts of just, there's never a dull moment in our conversation. So we decided that we'd like to let people hear what we have to say. And if it weighs anything to them, great. If it doesn't, no harm, no foul, I guess. So we just try to have as much fun as we can.
Yeah, man, that sounds so. Would you say that most of your audience reflects who you guys are as people as well? Like, have you attracted the same types of people?
I would say so. Except for, like, we've built our own little community. We do get onesies and twosies, new people that come in. Not every episode is meant for everyone. That's the thing. It's meant to be a disconnect. Our first year. So, like I said, we've been doing this for about 19, 20 months, right? So our birth date for the Wet Down podcast, because I'm a Marine, we always got to celebrate a birth date, like every year, you got to keep track. October 27th of 2020 is when we decided to start this. Moved all along, kept moving, still going strong right now. And we've decided that we wanted to change things around. So the first year we decided to borrow other people's credibility. I read a lot of self-help books, a lot of different things like Think and Grow Rich, for example. The best way to create or get into a space that you don't know is to borrow someone else's credibility to help elevate yourself. So we interviewed 52 people in 52 weeks. It was thanks to Clubhouse and the explosion of that and everybody being stuck to their phones during the pandemic. We were able to, but I put up one room for a find a guest, be a guest. And I was booked through June, and that was in February. Wow. So that was, wow. Yeah. And so, you know how many weeks, that was a lot of weeks right there. Then yeah. We do one show a week. We do a brand new one every week. But the second half in our second season or second year, we decided to change things around and just be the four of us. Sometimes we bring a guest in. Sometimes we have a buddy come on. They're like, oh, I want to learn how to be a podcaster. I want to see what the experience is like. And we're like, okay, cool. So come on in. We'll have some fun. We tell some jokes, you know, some dirty ones, some soft ones, some dad jokes, some mom jokes, whatever. And like, we're definitely not everybody's cup of tea, but we are everyone's shot of whiskey or tequila or rum or whatever it is that you got. So I'm sure that there's something that we'll say that you might laugh at. And that's what we've been focusing on this year, as being like our team, our crew, whatever you want to call us. I like to call us a team because that's really what we are. We try to scratch each other's back as much as possible. We look out for each other. But more importantly, we were friends before this. And it's very dangerous when you get into something with friends, because egos start to blow, people thinking that they're better than others. But what's nice is that we've kept each other in check so well. There's no one person's head is bigger than the other with what we've got. And it's a unique experience every week. It's not something that you don't look forward to, at least for us. Like, we look forward to catching up, seeing what each other's done all week, just the new funny stories. Like, for some people, they don't care, but for others, like one of our guys, he's there even though he's not there. So, I mean, if he gives you an idea of the comedic relief that you get, like, we could be in a heavy conversation and then all of a sudden you hear, huh? What? What'd like, you say? Why? Like, I don't get this. Like, why would you? And then we have to unpack that box, obviously. So we have to dive in and see what, you know, the different pieces that are there. Yeah. But we try to be the release and the disconnect that everyone has a stressful life. And more importantly, people want to be entertained. Yeah. You can listen to self-help podcasts. You can listen to this. You can listen to that. I like to hear people's stories about what's made them become who they are. I've always found that really interesting. Mm-hmm. So the first year it made sense. Now, this was a whole new game for us to be not interviewing people, not doing this. Like, we have to force ourselves to come up with not topics. We don't have a list of topics. We don't have a list of information that we focus on. It's this is what's happened in our week. We find a way to blend it all together and we dive on it. And we all do right. a nice little warm up like you do before most shows, most creators will do. We just build a flow and then I hit that record button and we run and gun. It's the way it goes. So
try to have fun. For people who are listening or watching this, it's like, what's a show warm up? Aaron and I were singing little jingles before the show. So that's what I do with my guests. Everyone, they got to sing me a song or they don't get to come on.
Oh, absolutely, man. But it's a good thing I know Twinkle Twinkle really well.
Well, man, first of all, I love the thanks for sharing that backstory. It gets me a little bit, you know, more knowledgeable about kind of like why you started. And I think so many people started during the pandemic and they were bored and they were like, oh man, I'm going to start this podcast or whatnot. But dude, I love that you guys did that pivot of, you know, and had the force, the knowledge or the, you know, kind of sense of like, okay, let's leverage other people's, you know, voices and stories. And then you shifted into the second phase of like, now we're going to just bring it to us. Like, we attracted people, we built our community, and now we're really going to focus on what we bring. So I love that strategy. I've never heard that before. So I think that's really killer. Now, when it comes down to the creative funnel, if you will, of pushing stuff, and I mean, how many, you got yourself and three other co-hosts, you said, right? So you got four dudes. I mean, that is like wrangling cats, I feel like, on a podcast. So who is the creative cat wrangler on your team? Is that you?
I would say I share the hat with all three of them really well. One of them, or all of us, have known each other for at least 5 years now. One of the co-hosts, a good buddy of mine, I served in the Marine Corps with. We played hockey together when we were in the Marine Corps. So he's somebody that I can always rely on. If I'm like, hey, we're running late, I can always text him and make sure that the word gets passed to everybody else. If I don't have time to make sure to get in touch with everybody, he can, you know, we always have a fail safe. There's always somebody being accountable. But what's also nice is that there's so much carefreeness to it. If it's not too much on someone where they're going to say, obviously you're not going to go out there and say horrible things on the podcast. You're not going to be a prick, so to speak. But if you're going to go out there, it's free speech, man. Practice it, live it. We live in a place where you can do that and you can put this stuff on the internet where other places take you down. We can do that here. So we try to all wear a creative hat. We all try to have some responsibility with it. I would like to say that I do a lot of it. I just end up having more time to sit and focus. Like, one of us is about to have another child, not me, but you know, in a few weeks there's going to be another child gracing this planet, and it's going to be a good experience. I'm happy for him, and you know, there's going to be some time off for all of us, but we all pick each other's slack up. I mean, an effective team. And I guess you said it was like wrangling cats. I can say it's not wrangling cats, but when it's like when you got to get four grown adult men to sit down and try to stay focused on something and without getting too heated, because I'm a glutton for that. I do that once in a while. I like to go on my tangents, but it's important that these guys are there. Like, they are my back piece. Like, I might have a creative idea or I might have the start of something, and then I'll say it and they'll snowball it and they'll make it bigger and bigger and bigger, and it just continues to go. For a long time we were against TikTok, for example, until I got pushed into using TikTok. And I don't like being too creative, but I also like, I like to share it with everybody else. But a lot of the videos that I've had on there, I've either found or I've thought of some sort of something. And we've been lucky enough to, you know, we caught fire pretty quick on TikTok. We got something like 700 followers in our first week. And then I haven't touched it after that, just because I'm just like, I got so many other things and I'm so spread thin, which is a good reason why creative mental block does happen. And you have to pay attention to what you're doing. I try to have a checks and balances system. So it's, All right.
So, dude,
and I think we all do.
Yeah, let's dive into that then, man. Because I think you know, oftentimes we do this. We got bored during the pandemic, and we started a podcast. And you know, I started podcasting before the pandemic, maybe like a year or two or whatnot. But then I, you know, started another podcast during the pandemic that went really well. But that was our thing was, you know, we set out with a mission. We knew what we wanted to accomplish with it. We knew the audience we wanted to build. Like, we really did all the homework up front. And then it made that creative, that weekly creative process a little bit easier because we had something to kind of look back on. But yeah, man, I'm interested in your checks and balances system for like your creative process here.
I've limited it down to 8 steps, really, of what you can do to overcome it. And we can dive in each step itself really in depth. Like we could talk for hours on this stuff. But to keep it quick and simple, like number one, you just think too much. You really do. Like most people don't realize that your mind, if you don't have an outlet, you're going to be stuck. Okay. And sometimes you just have to not think. And I know it sounds crazy. And all of my overthinkers that are listening or watching any of this, it's so easy to do all of that. And you know it. Everybody thinks of so many bad, like I'm a glutton for that. I plan so far ahead. I try to be a strategist. I try to be tactical with what I'm going to move and how I'm going to move, but it doesn't always work, especially when you're new in the creator space, because you don't know what you're doing. I never knew what I was doing. So what I recommend is a journal. I talked about it on our podcast. I ended up finding myself a journal. I put my thoughts down on paper. I see where my mindset is, where my goals, my tasks, what I'm trying to get done and accomplished through the week. And now all of a sudden I know where I'm at. A lot of people are like afraid, from what I've noticed, to go back and read what they wrote in their journal. They might laugh at it. It's kind of like I equate it to listening to your voice on the recording or hearing your voice for the first time. You don't always want to read your thoughts of what you just put down, because you're kind of like, wow, I really said that. I feel so stupid. But I think it's important that you do that, because it helps you gauge where you should go next. It helps you break down where you need to be and move on. And then it builds off of that, because you think too much, your emotions become involved. So number two, obviously you have to control your emotions.
So let's go back to number one real quick, because I want to jump into this, because man, I think as a creator, or really just as a person, and I'm curious for you and your crew, if this happens, you know, if I overthink something, it's for me personally, it's not because I'm overthinking like the product or the outcome or whatever. I'm typically overthinking about what other people may think. If you got into that trap of like, because I mean, I've literally not created something that I was super passionate about because there was one person that was in my circle or my world that I thought, oh, you know what? They might not like this, or they may think I'm an idiot or whatever. And I just didn't do it. And now I'm not doing that ever again. I've learned after several years of being in my 20s, getting into my 30s, mid-30s now, I'm like, dude, I'm doing whatever I want, whenever, however, and if you think I'm an idiot, then good for you, but otherwise, I don't care. Have you struggled with that as well?
I think everybody does. I still struggle with it. I mean, I would love to, I've been seeing you smile a bunch, and I don't think that, like, we've talked before, so I know that I made you laugh. I say weird things. I say goofy things. I like to make people smile. I like to say the things that I know people think, but I say them. I hear it every day. I like to post some of the controversial stuff, I guess you could say, on my stories. And some people, I watch the unfollow button get clicked a lot, but I also watch the follow button get clicked twice as much as I watch the unfollow button get clicked. Yeah. So I can't complain too much, but I think as you get older, you start to realize that your time is limited on this planet, like in what you do. So whatever God you pray to, you want to make sure that you live your life to the fullest. And if you're not doing it, you're thinking too much. Like I am a sucker for that. Like there are times where I'm like, I don't know if my mom and dad are going to love me if I say this, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I've said this in front of them and they laughed. So maybe I can say it. It's just how I deliver it. Like you can't go into a place saying something bad. If you deliver it in a funny way, everybody's going to think you're funny and you're okay. That's why comedians exist. And they're considered, you know, the logical ones right now. I mean, look at Joe Rogan, look at Jocko, look at all these people, you know, they're in the limelight because of, they just don't care. Like they know what their circle is. They got their support piece. You can't please everybody. So the overthinking, the thinking too much, that's where that comes from, trying to people please. And yes, I try to do it. I love to see people being happy, and I definitely don't ever want to be the reason someone's hurt, but it does have to happen. It is a business sometimes, and you have to treat things as such. Not everybody will like you. And I know that there's plenty of people that don't like me, but that's okay. Because maybe they see this, they're like, wow, he's totally different when it comes to certain things. Maybe I didn't know this, you know. I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. But yes, I can say I have fallen into it. There are some things still in my career that I would like to try. For example, I'll say it right here in front of whoever's watching. Like, I'd love to sit on an open mic night one day and just have fun. Go see what I can do on a stand-up comedy night just for fun. Because I can make a whole locker room full of 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 60-year-old men laugh for hockey. I can do that anywhere. I wonder if I could do it on a small stage where somebody videos it. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the podcast has helped do, is made my stage fright kind of go away.
I love that, man.
The anxiety's not there. I can sit and hold a mic and be casual. Like, there's stuff that this was more of like a, this is how I came out of my shell, I guess you could say.
All right. Yeah, you know? Man, I love that, dude. I think that's, you know, I think it's killer for people who are like, what can podcasting do for me? Because oftentimes it's, you know, I don't want to, you know, I don't care if I grow an audience. I don't care if I make money. I don't care. But it's sometimes not, dude. It's therapeutic. Like, I get on this microphone and share my thoughts. And like you, I you know, I became a daily presenter. I created this Creating Daily show not to get famous, not to grow my audience, not to do any of that stuff. It was literally because I said, I want to create a daily show. And then I'm like, why not? Why don't I just do it? And then whatever happens, happens. And I might get 2 months from now and be like, yeah, that's a lot of work. Not for me. I don't care. I'm out. But I've met a lot of cool people along the way. So, man, thanks for sharing that. And you know, so one, don't overthink. All right, let's move on to point number two. What do you got for me?
You got to control your emotions. And the reason I say control your emotions, like today's world with all of the outside stressors that, you know, you, the average person, can face daily, it's going to cloud your mind. It's going to distort your focus. Maybe there's something in your personal life you haven't handled yet. It's looming over you. Like, you didn't pay a bill, or your car, you know, car insurance, everything's expensive now. Inflation's hitting us hard. So there's definitely extra stressors in people's lives that can hold you up. So maybe you're just afraid, or you're afraid of trying something new, and you're not sure how others are going to view it. Like, there's that overthinking coming back at you again. It's important to remind yourself why you're doing it, what and how it's going to make you happy. And hopefully it's going to provide you some sort of accomplishment feeling, or, you know, if you're lucky, you might monetize yourself if you do it right. There could be somebody that sees something in you that you don't see in yourself, that they, you know, all of a sudden there's hidden talent everywhere. For example, Eminem, like he got found with Dr. Dre. I love music. I like to go back into history and look at that kind of stuff. He threw a demo tape to some guy after losing in the Rap Olympics, and that guy just happened to give it to Jimmy Iovine, which gave it to Dr. Dre, and then he was in his house. Wow. He's Eminem. Like, now that's all you hear. We just watched him in the Super Bowl. So you never know. You really never know who's watching or listening. And it's very interesting to see some of the people that come along and help you in your journey, because that's really what happens is, you know, if you can control your emotion and you have a clear thought, you have a clear mind, there's nothing you can't do. Honestly, yeah, man. You really can't.
And I've learned this, I would say, the hard way, because I didn't grow up in an emotionally stable home. Like, it was chaos the first 5 years of my life. Probably even after that, somewhat chaos, a little bit better, but somewhat chaotic. And even in my 30s, I'm figuring out, like, okay, how do I control my, and I thought I had it settled until I had a kid. Then I'm like, holy crap, that brought in a whole nother wave of, like, you know, opportunities to get frustrated. But I have noticed that in my career. It's like, there's some stuff that I had opportunities to really just probably rightfully so explode emotionally, for lack of a better reason. I didn't. I kept my cool. And then stuff kind of worked out, and it worked its way out. And opportunities presented themselves through those relationships that I was, you know, seconds from erupting on, you know, emotionally. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, love that. Love that. Keep your emotions in check. And, yeah, it's awesome, man. So let's keep moving, dude. You got me juiced up here. I'm taking notes on my phone as you're chatting. So
thank you. So number three, if you're ready for it, it's make a routine, a creative routine for yourself. So an artist, I mean, if you're a podcast or whatever it is, you're some sort of artist if you're creating something, in my mind, because you're making something that hasn't existed. So you're an artist in some sort of way. So most artists will have some sort of routine when they do things. Perfect example. Everybody loves Bob Ross. I love Bob Ross. Have you ever watched any of his paintings, dude, to beat the devil out of it? He does it on every episode, but you know why? It's to get you to, like, I laugh when I see him do it, but it's funny because it's what he does. It's his quirk. It's what he does. It's how he kept you involved, or just his talking. Like, let's put some subtle mountains here. He always had a routine. He had a way to talk. And that's what, if you can find what works for you, and that's going to be difficult because everybody does something different. For me, I have 3 bottles of water for an hour and a half show. How it works. Same. I always have to have 3, and I'm going to slam them by the time I'm done, but I'm also not going to shut my mouth for that entire time. So I'm going to need to speak. I'm going to need to talk. And you have to learn, I guess I can thank my sales career before I started really doing all of this, how to talk, how to sit and be with people, how to understand the highs and lows of the conversation. The one thing I hate is dead air, or just dead silence, or awkward moments. I'd rather be the guy that you saw and say to me, hey, you talk way too much, instead of being the guy that is like, you're boring. Like, that is the one thing I never want to hear is you're boring. I don't want that. that's to me, that is one of the biggest insults you can have, is being called boring. And I don't like that.
All right, man. So make a routine. So what's your routine? What is your routine as a creator? What does that look like?
So my creative routine is I write down my thoughts. I have to do a workout that same day. Doesn't matter what kind of workout it is. It's just, it helps me clear the, it's like a brain dump for me when I do a workout. I can focus on what I need to focus on, building my body, make myself healthier, do what I need to do. And then I kind of sit down, I read a little bit. I try to read something that's more beneficial to me. And then I end it with a journal, like a journal entry. And it's always because I can see what's in my mind. I put it on paper. It's like when you have a task and you have to write your task down. Most people have a schedule that you follow, or an agenda, or some sort of anything. The minute you write it down, it becomes real. That's how it looks to me. I mean, you have contracts for that reason. I mean, you can't go to court with somebody on a shaking hand and what you say, like, you have a piece of paper to prove that it's real. So those same thoughts and those same processes can work for you. It's just, you have to put it down. So that's my thing. And once I know where my mind is at, I relay that information to my crew or the guys that I'm with. And I work out with them, and I set these, you know, we set up our show, we do however we can. And I'm sure that that's what they do. I know one guy likes to drink a beer before every episode. To be honest, I like to smoke a little bit before an episode too. It helps me get those pregame nerves. I'm not doing that now, but I like to, for myself, because I'm in control of the situation, and I can see where my mind is going to be to help me out if I choose to. But that's my thing. And I can't recommend that for everybody, but you really should create your own routine and how you do. Pay attention to your own quirks. What do you do when you get up in the morning? You get up, you brush your teeth, you take a shower. You know, if you can, you understand that routine, you have one before you do anything. Yeah. No matter what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're creatures of habit by nature. And so that is, it's really key to you know, and I think a lot of times creators, this could be their side hustle. This could be their side gig, so to speak. And then it becomes lost because it doesn't become a part of our routine and part of our life. And then it suffers, and that project suffers, and then that creative mental block is there. And what I do, so I'm not focused on the logistics of this, you know, people go, man, a daily show, like, you're insane. And I'm like, no, I got a system that works for me. And I work on this thing about an hour a day, minus the time. So maybe 2 hours, because I do the actual recording. But then I have like 30 minutes before, 30 minutes after actually putting, you know, whatever. And I have a document that allows me to fill in the blanks. I have spent a lot of time building the scenes, building all this stuff. I've built the format, and then I just fill in the blanks of that format. And so it enables me to move super quick and not have to think about, oh, what segment I'm going to do tomorrow. And I know a lot of creators will just be week by week and, you know, project by project, episode by episode, and then find themselves like, oh man, I'm so beat up. I'm, you know, and it's that journaling that I love, because you are, and, you know, and I journal in a different way of just like sharing, you know, ideas and documenting ideas and taking notes on my phone as I am today. So, man, these are good. These are great. I would probably sit here and talk about all day about a routine, because I wasn't that person, you know, in my life, and now I am that person who I do have a pretty solid routine. And, you know, I think having a kid really helped that. Like, now I have very limited amounts of time, so I got to go quick, you know, so.
Absolutely. And I'm lucky enough to say that I have an autistic child, so they love routines. And for me to have a routine, and like, at least for him, I can't say they and not all, but at least for him, a routine works so well. And human beings are suckers for comfort. And when I say suckers for comfort, that's what everybody chooses for. I mean, you sleep in your warm, comfortable bed every night. You get up and you put your nice comfy shoes on before you go for a run. If you put a little bit of pain in your life in some way, you have to force yourself to grow. Like David Goggins always talks about friction and how to make himself. You need friction to grow. So, I mean, you can have a routine. You can keep your routine, but don't be afraid to change it up, add to it, delete. You got to find what works for you. I mean, I can't say I'm superstitious, but I can say that if I've done something that is really, really good, I try to analyze it, break it down, and focus on exactly how my performance was in that one moment. And what did I do leading up to it to get to that point? How did I do it? If I did leg day the day before I skated, I need to do leg day before I skate every time until I play like crap again to figure out if that was the reason why I was doing so well, and so on and so forth. You just got to keep yourself moving. That's what I like to do.
Dude, these are like really good points of and if anybody's joining us, we're talking about how to overcome this creative mental block that we sometimes have as creators. And so you've given us a few keys, and so far that is, don't overthink it, don't get emotional, and make a routine, man. So take us on to number four. I know you got eight of these, so let's jump to number four.
Life changes. So your life is going to change. Change sucks, man. Everybody hates it. So when it does and it kicks you, you stand back up. And for me, I'm a military guy, so I'm always going to say, like, is that all you got, you little bitch? Like, I'm not a little bitch. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep trugging along. Big life change, like losing your job, for example. For some creators, that's a devastating thing. You start worrying about money problems. You start worrying about, you know, like, how am I going to feed my family? What do I do? Like, how do I afford to live? Like, how, we need a roof over our head. What do we do? If you can keep control of all of those life changes based upon what you can control, you're going to be okay. It's, again, like I said before, and I'll keep saying it over, it's important to do a brain dump. So if you have a life change, write it down, put it there, and then change, right? If you can, plan for yourself how to get out of it, because you don't understand what you're doing is you're holding yourself up to create new stuff for people. If you want to entertain somebody, you got to make sure that you're on that path of creating for people. You don't want to be somebody that is sitting behind the scenes and not knowing what's going on. They're looking to you for some sort of relief or answer or entertainment, whatever it is that they're looking for you for. So if you can't handle what's going on in your life beforehand, maybe that's a good reason why you're having a hard time with what's going on. You can't put something else out if you've got something holding on to you.
Man,
and life changes like every day.
Dude, I love this conversation. And I always say that. I'm becoming a better interviewer, I hope. But I always say, oh, I love that. Everybody's probably like, dude, shut up. You can't love everything. But I do love everything. But that's one thing that somebody taught me early on, one of my mentors. He said, Bill, if you want something, you know, to bigger than what you have or different or whatever, you can't just keep holding on to the same stuff all the time. And so it's healthy to let something go, let a project go, let a friendship go, a relationship go, or whatever, so you can move to that next level in your life and free up that brain space to really move into what you want to as a creator, as a content creator, whatever that looks like for you. And so I think that is hugely important to work through those things, document those things, and really look for it. And maybe even, you know, my wife and son and I and our two dogs about this time last year decided, like, we're going to move to Puerto Rico. And that was, in my mind, was freaking me out, dude. Like, my wife's a little bit more hippie than me. She's super, you know, like, whatever. She works off her computer. She owns her own business, does graphic design. I have a studio full of crap. I'm like, I work online. Like, I work with creators. I work with podcasts. Like, how am I going to do this stuff and take this to Puerto Rico, which I don't even know the infrastructure. And now that I've learned it, you know, like, there's a lot of stuff I would do different. But, dude, it has literally changed my life just from forcing myself out of my comfort zone. And now I'm going back 50 pounds lighter, maybe more, because we still got a couple months. I'm going back 50 pounds lighter. I'm super clear on the vision. I'm creating new content. It's like, it's literally been a season of like crazy change and isolation. But it's almost like I've been, and this is going to sound so weird, but it's almost, Aaron, like I've been in a cocoon and I'm about to just fly out of here. Like a totally different thing.
You know? A little Billy Butterfly. I like it, man. That's the way to go. Fly you and your family back here.
This isn't your comedy stage, so don't be giving any of my audience ideas. I don't want to hear that. Billy Butterfly.
I'm gonna have to get you a mug for your butterfly, a little butterfly mug that you're gonna, your cocoon, you're blowing up. But you're not a moth, man. At least you're pretty enough to be a butterfly. All right.
Appreciate that. Hopefully, I live longer than a butterfly. But anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
You hit a point right there, man. You get me fired up. Sorry to rant and tangent, but all right. So back to you. Like we can move on to point number five if you got it there.
Absolutely, I'm ready to go always. So number five. The typical piece that everybody understands that they know that they're doing, they just don't want to admit it. You're doing way too much. Life is life. It's going to be busy or boring. But if you don't understand the power of saying no, you're going to paralyze yourself with the constant anxiety and having a distracted focus, man. The way to fix those problems, you got to understand your capabilities, your work style, how to finish. Like I mentioned in the beginning of all of it, you know, the ways that helps me out, journaling for me. Okay. The uniformity of this, you got to stay in line with yourself. You got to force yourself to sit down and say, I need this 15 minutes to write these thoughts down. You got 15 minutes. How many hours in a week? What, 160, something like that, right? So you break your time down. And if you can break it down onto a micro level for yourself of where you spend your time, you're solid. Like it'll... That's you huge. Can do so much if you can figure out how to break your time into pieces and how to use it. I mean, you mentioned losing a bunch of weight. If we did this 2 months or 2 years ago, I wouldn't be sitting here with the, you know, at least a chin. I had no neck because I was just the head and shoulders for a while. Now, like I lost a bunch of weight too. The pandemic made me fat. And then I found out COVID was killing all the people that were overweight and doing all of these things. I'm like, I'm not going to live forever. I got to lose all this stuff. I want to be around. I got healthy and then, you know, God forbid I never got COVID. Like I've been lucky. I've been one of the few that has either I've had it or I haven't, but I don't know. I'm not going to go pay to find out, but you can create a better life for yourself. That is what you want. That's what everybody wants is a better life. They just don't necessarily always know how to get it. So
yeah. Yeah, man. Love it. Don't do too much. Don't, you know, say no. I love that, man. I love that point. It's like, dude, and so many times in my 20s, I said yes to all the things I didn't really want to do. And I knew deep down, like, I don't want to do this. But the people around me, I just wanted to satisfy them. And I wasn't really focused on myself. And I think sometimes as people, as creators, whatever, like, we got to be selfish at times. Like, I lost 50 pounds because I was selfish. Everyone said, you should lose weight for your family. You should lose weight so you look better for your wife. You should lose weight so you can run and chase your kid. And I tried to lose weight for all those ways, and it wasn't until I stood in my kitchen and said, you know what, I want to lose weight for me. Just because I want to look better. I want to feel better. I want to be able to breathe. Like, I did have COVID when I was 50 pounds heavier, or maybe even more. And, dude, it was rough. Like, there was a couple days where I'm like, this might be the end. And I know it's because I can't breathe already because I'm just too big. Like, I'm too heavy and... you know, all that kind of stuff, man. So, man, love that point. Love that point. And I'm going to keep moving. So don't say yes to too much and keep your focus where it really needs to be. So let's go to point number six, and then we'll get some Q&A stuff too. So we'll hit six, seven, and eight real quick. Then we'll jump to questions and move on. So go for it, Aaron.
Awesome. Technology. With today's world being as fast as it is, with the demand for everything to be instant and ready to use, it's important to remind yourself that you're handcuffing yourself with your own devices. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, etc. All of them are made for you to waste your time and pull your attention to keep scrolling. So I know that for some, like us, we are creators. We do rely on using those for marketing pieces and such. But for what I feel is 99% of us, it's just a waste of time. And the reason it's just a waste of time is because how many billionaires do you see caring about what's on Instagram? How many times are they posting meals and packs of money and whatever it is that they've got? They're not doing that. They're focused on how are they going to make more. It's just they've corrected their focus. They understand that technology is a tool to help them and nothing more. It is their focus. That's what they want to do. And eventually that's what I hope to be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, technology, make technology work for you, not work for it. That's good. So, man, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
So number seven, they're normal. Mental blocks are completely normal, man. And you can't say that they're not because they are. And the reason that they are, Thomas Edison is the perfect example of that. All right. All he said, he never failed at anything in his life. He only found 10,000 ways that something won't work. And it is so true. Yep. If you have the attitude to just keep going, you're okay.
And I think everyone should adopt that right there. That quote that you said, I heard that early on in life. Thank goodness. And that's what I always tell somebody, like, well, that business failed. I'm like, no, I just figured out how not it didn't work. I just figured out, you know, what not to do and what I won't do in my next business. And so I think that's hugely important for people who start a show, start a podcast, write a book or whatever. If it falls flat, don't just chalk it up and let the lessons go with it, but figure out what those lessons are and take them into the next project. It's good.
And the last but not least, number eight, never give up. You got to stay on course. Got to keep trying. Remember that if you keep showing up and you don't chase the perfectionism out of this, you'll have the easier time staying on the path that you want for yourself. You just can't chase perfectionism. That's it.
Right.
If you're able to kick perfectionism out of your mind, you can do really anything. Because I can tell you this, if you can't skate, you can't skate. But I bet you if you go out and practice a whole bunch, you're not going to fall down all too often. Like ice skating is a good example of just something simple like that. And I say it's something simple because it's super simple for me. I've been doing it for 30 years. Not many people have. So, you know, it's always fun, but you got to start somewhere. And in order for you to start, you're going to suck at it. But if you don't give up, it's really cool to see what you can do if you don't give up.
Yep. Yeah, 100%, man. I bet if we watched videos of you 30 years ago getting on those skates, we'd probably be like, wow, he's just never going to make it. He's never going to do it.
Dude, it would have been with one of those big old camcorders on the side, like, you know, mom and dad looking through.
That's how external it would have been microphone. Well, dude, and that's true. I mean, you know, just that camera thing you're talking about, dude, it's like to do what we do now. I mean, think about it. It's insane. Like, I'm 35, but just since I started using technology as probably 10 or 12. Yeah, I think we got our first, you know, home computer with dial-up internet and, you know, AOL disk. Like, the stuff that you can do now is insane. I mean, I'm in Puerto Rico. Where you're at, New England area?
Connecticut? Yeah, we're in the New England area, yep.
Yeah, and so we're here live streaming to the world. We got people over on Bullhorn watching. We got people on YouTube watching. It just blows my – I mean, I'm just sitting here like, dude, this is insane. Like, you can literally do and learn anything in the world, but it is taking consistent action and showing up and doing those elementary things over and over and over again.
You want to know what keep – I know this sounds really silly, but people our age watch Boy Meets World, okay? And I know everybody loves Mr. Feeny. Everybody – the Feeny call, everybody loves Mr. Feeny in every way. Mr. Feeny had his moment where he yelled at everybody. I can't remember the specific episode, but I remember him yelling at the class. It's the one time you see him really upset in the entire series. And he said, you have the knowledge at your fingertips and you choose to sit and look at absolutely nothing, where people back, you know, not too long ago, thirsted for a brand new book every couple of years from somebody that they respected, that was well, like, versed or knowledgeable in, like, whatever task or, you know, career that they were in. And we use it to look at funny videos. Like, for example, TikTok is so different in two different parts of the world. In China, they use it to teach their children how to do things. Here, we use it to get famous by falling down some stairs, and we go viral and get paid by it. I mean, it's... there's different ways to do it. It's how you choose to do it. I mean, it's all on you. Always. It's always on you. And if you bet on yourself, you can't lose. Unless you want to lose, but nobody likes to lose unless you're one of those people that just likes to lose. I hate losing. I am so competitive. I want to win in every way. I know it's not possible, but I want it.
Yeah, you want to win. And then if you're not in that mindset, then that's a mindset problem, which we could probably talk about in a whole nother podcast episode. And I want to jump over. I didn't set this scene up, so I hope it works. But I'm going to jump over to the Bullhorn chat here. We got a couple people saying hello. Oh, let me see. What did I do here? Hold on a second. Let me see if I can fix it. Am I fixing it? Is it fixing? Oh, yeah, there we go. It's fixing a little bit. I should have worked on it before. But anyway, so we got Resty says he loves Bob Ross. And then we got Sam says he overthinks his writing all the time. And then I encourage him there. But so right there in the question section from Sam is, what is a good source of inspiration? Like, where do you get your inspiration from? And, you know, how do you keep yourself motivated?
I can say, like you, I'm very lucky to have loving parents. I'm lucky to have all that stuff. But life was not easy as a kid, at least for me. It was not easy. I didn't feel it was easy. I'm smaller than most people. Like, I'm sitting up on a booster seat in my own little chair here. But, you know, I'm average height for a woman, so it's hard. Like, that's my inspiration, is people look at me as I'm some little dude, but I have a 6'5" Napoleon complex mentality. Like, I'm not going to let somebody steamroll me. I'm not going to let somebody run me over. But I also took it as, my inspiration is myself. Like, what kind of life do I want to live? I mean, you have all those moral protectors, like your parents, you don't want to hurt their feelings, your grandparents, your family, your close friends, you never want to offend them. But if you aren't happy with yourself and you're not able to do things for yourself, you're never really going to be happy. You need to figure out what works for you. For me, my inspiration, I'm lucky enough to have two little boys that stare up at me, like, luck for now, at least. They look at me and they're just like, hey, I need you. And they don't know why they need me, but they, other than love and like, I'm their dad, but I know for myself, I need to be better. I need to figure out a way to provide for them, but I also need to find a way to be a good teacher to them and help them grow. So if I'm not doing things to the best of my ability, at least I can do things to the best ability for them, for my whole family, for whatever it is. That's my inspiration, is my little family that I have. I want to create my own. I want my own piece of land. I want my own American dream. And I have it. I'm living it, you know? So for inspiration, you can always find it in a book. You can read it. You can do whatever. It's going to be whatever works for you in whatever capacity you could bring it to yourself.
Yeah. That's good, man. And I think too, and I'll add to, you know, to that a little bit, because what you said there is so important, man. I think so many times, maybe our system does this, you know, especially in the States, you know, the educational system, and it's a rewards based and it's performance based, and it's not created equal for everyone. And it's like, dude, like, I was a horrible, horrible, horrible student, dropped out of high school a semester before it was over because I literally, like, couldn't pass an algebra class. And, you know, turns out I owned a business that generated, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and, like, organized and managed it all. I just couldn't learn how to count how many freaking strawberries Susie had and why they were missing or whatever the equation was. And I was so focused on pleasing other people that I really didn't self-evaluate. And this is the thing, too, about being a content creator and doing what I do now is, I had to make it, and the pandemic helped this, by the way. I mean, this was there's a horrible, horrible things that came from this pandemic. But one of the beautiful things for my life was the opportunity to just stop and the radio silence. You know, I had a t-shirt business that was moving, signed the biggest contract we'd ever signed about 2 weeks before the pandemic. It comes back like, hey, we're not doing this. Events canceled, canceled order, canceled order, canceled order. And I'm sitting at my desk, like, literally as a hobby podcaster going, all right, what do I do next? And then phone call after phone call from entrepreneur and business owner was like, hey, man, I need to go digital. What should I do? And so I started, like, just talking to these people about creating content. And next, then Clubhouse, you know, I discovered Clubhouse. And then all of a sudden, man, my world just lights up because I understood what the needs of people were around me. And then I made that decision because my wife's like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to create content. I'm going to be a content creator full time. Like, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, and luckily she's built her business up. And so that was a part of that financial relief to go, okay, go throw mud on the wall and see what sticks. And, you know, we monetized the podcast super fast and, man, it's been incredible, but it was the decision to do it for myself. And when people, we live in a world that says don't be selfish, and I'm saying be selfish, because out of that selfishness, you'll build a life that is so, you know, will allow other people to, you know, to live and your family and your legacy. And I think that's what we're after, is we're building little time capsules with content, and we're putting it out there into the world. And hopefully our family can live off some of this revenue and inspiration down the road. So
I would say it's not selfishness, man. It's more focus. Like, you can't say you're selfish.
True.
You're focused.
True.
You're focused. That's all it is.
That's true.
You know what you want, and you're going to get it. And if you treat everything in that way, there's nothing you can't do, man. I mean, Elon Musk 8 years ago was, you know, broke. And look at him now. I mean, I can't say he was broke. He was still pretty rich, but he's not as rich as he is now. I mean,
yeah, right.
He shudders the world with a tweet. He's our Iron Man, dude. Like, he's,
yeah, true.
That's true. What happens when you focus on what you want. It's not being selfish. All of this stuff that's here is, you could use that not just for creative mental block, but I feel like you could take something of what I had said and apply it to really anything in these little 8 steps of what you need to do for yourself. Whether you want to create something, whether you want to just go and do something new, go do it. I mean, you can apply all of it.
That's good, man. Dude, excellent conversation. Thanks for coming so prepared and bringing points and all that stuff, man. I mean, that is great content. So, man, I really appreciate you. One, responding to my, hey, I need somebody to come on the show, and then bringing the heat like you did. Bringing the heat.
Oh. I appreciate it, man. I'm not, I wasn't thinking that it'd be too hot, but I'm glad that it's hot enough to where you enjoy it. So that's good. Just enough spice.
Man, it was awesome. And Resty over here, this is going to be, oh, it's wrong again. I moved it. But anyway, he said, hey, thanks for the knowledge. Thank you for the knowledge. I got several people watching on Bullhorn, so we really appreciate those guys. But yeah, man, Aaron, is there anything that you want to say that I didn't open you up to say, or maybe I don't ask the best questions in the world, but...
dude, I think you did a great job. Like, there's nothing that I would ever change out of what you do. Like, when I first met you, I met you through Clubhouse. You had way more followers than I did when it came to things. I was just starting out. And then we got in a room. You got to hear me speak. I got to hear you speak. And I was like, I like this guy. I really feel like we've got a lot that we could grow. You know, there's different things that we could do. We have the same image where we want to be. And now I'm here. So I appreciate you inviting me here. I want to say a nice thank you. And to all the people that have, you know, listened to me for at least an hour, you know, I'm just a guy just like you. I'm nothing special. I just have something figured out that I'd like to share. That's all.
Yeah, man. Love it, dude. We'll keep creating, and we'll definitely have you back on the show and do some follow-up stuff. And I mean, I know if you got one list of 8 amazing things, you probably have a bunch more lists. So we'll bring you back on and share those, but appreciate you, Aaron. Thanks, man.
My friend, thank you much.
All right, thank you so much. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching. If you watched here live, if you're listening to the replay, either on Bullhorn or YouTube, really appreciate that. And make sure you hit a subscribe button close to you. Drop us a comment. Let us know where you're watching from. A lot of support on the Bullhorn app today. Really appreciate that. I don't know who tweeted out that or whatever, but it's got several people over there listening and watching. So appreciate that a lot. And if you're not creating on Bullhorn, reach out to me. I'll get you in touch with those guys over there. They're creating an awesome platform, and we can definitely make the connection. If you want to be a live streamer, podcaster, and use their platform, super, super great platform to do. But tomorrow, I don't know what I said, but however, tomorrow, join me here at same time, same place at 2 p.m. I got a very special person on my show tomorrow. Her name is Jenny Rogers. She is a 59-year creator. Super amazing person. She's a songwriter, a musician, an author. She just released a new book called Mama Bear Meditations. And this person is probably one of the most special people in the creative world to me, because it was in her high school music class, her high school choir class, where she was a substitute, that my life was forever changed. Like, literally, I accidentally signed up, because I'm not very diligent in the classroom, for a girls' performance art class that turned into a CD project, that turned into me moving 10 hours from home to go to a music school, that turned into all the stuff I do now. And so it was this lady's message. There was this lady in that moment to say, hey, don't leave, don't quit, don't leave the choir class. I mean, you're a young guy and this is full of girls, like, this is a dream for you, but stay and we'll create something cool. And so anyway, I'm going to bring her on. It's going to be a great episode. I'm going to try not to cry, but because she means a lot to me and she's a very special person in my life, and I want to celebrate her and celebrate her new book that she dropped. So be sure to come back tomorrow. super fun, and we're both like ADHD as heck, so we'll see if we can get through a full episode. May have her on for 2 days in a row. We'll see. But anyway, that's 2 o'clock tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Be here, and thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.